Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Dietz filling in for Paul W. Smith, and this is Focus. The focus today is the 98th Annual National Cherry Festival right here in beautiful Traverse City, Michigan. We are coming to you live from the lobby of the Indigo Hotel, the spot to be with its views of the bay. You can actually sit up at the rooftop bar and hear the live music coming from the concert venue. You can see the spectacular fireworks show over the Grand Traverse Bay. And you're just a few steps away from some of the best shopping and dining Traverse City and the state of Michigan has to offer. Since 1925, the National Cherry Festival has been the highlight of the summer here in Traverse City. It's fabulous. 8-day celebration filled with food, fun, family-friendly activities and entertainment. And it all comes with a cherry on top. Whether you're a local or visiting from out of town, there's just something for everyone to do in Traverse City. Farmers markets, a classic car show, arts and crafts fair. We got it all started with the air show featuring the U.S. Navy Blue Angels. Unbelievable. These skilled aviators took to the skies above the Grand Traverse Bay. They were performing just breathtaking aerobatic maneuvers. It completely leaves you in awe. It's absolutely an exhilarating experience. It sets the tone for this entire festival here in Traverse City. I was sitting right behind our friend and Detroit Lions legend Lomas Brown, and when one of those jets zoomed overhead from behind us, the noise was so loud, big Lomas almost fell off his chair. It was pretty funny. He was pretty scared by the loud thunder from the Blue Angels. After the show, I found an old photo from when I was about 25 years old. I had a chance to suit up and fly with the Blue Angels, and it just brought back this memory of the power these jets have taking off at Mach 5, flying upside down. They were flying upside down yesterday over the Grand Traverse Bay. When I flew with them, we were flying along I-94 between Battle Creek and Kalamazoo. It's just something you never forget. If you love music, the Cherry Festival is the place to be. The Bayside Music Stage, unbelievable. An incredible lineup with performers this year, including Bret Michaels tonight. There's going to be Dylan Scott, the iconic Goo Goo Dolls. We saw Stone Temple Pilots on Friday night. It was packed, and there's nothing quite like watching a concert with the beautiful bay as your backdrop. Just incredible place to listen to music, and thousands of people will make their way over to the Bayside Music Stage and enjoy music all week long. If you're looking for some thrills, they're here for you at Arnold's Amusement Midway. It's right at the corner of Grandview Parkway and Union Street. You can't miss it. They have all the classic carnival rides. They have all the games and plenty of stuff to keep kids and adults entertained. And if you come, get in line and get on that Ferris wheel. You see it as you're coming into town. But that Ferris wheel, the view from the top is just simply spectacular. You can see for miles from up there. And by the way, the food trucks, fabulous at the Midway. They got a couple of parades this year. You have on July 4th at 6:30, the Consumers Energy Community Royal Parade. It winds its way throughout downtown Traverse City. Really great parade to watch. And then July 6th at 11:15 in the morning, you have the DT Energy Foundation Cherry Royal Parade. That's the grand finale of the festival, featuring marching bands and floats. And, of course, the Cherry Queen and her court will be at the parade. In fact, we're going to have the Cherry Queen with us a little later in this show. So stick with us for that. For those of you looking for a little bit of a challenge, you can lace up your running shoes. The Meyer Festival of Races takes place for seasoned runners or just people that are looking to just participate for a little fun. You can do a 5K, a 10K, a 15K. They're all available. The race route's just stunning views of the Grand Traverse Bay. You barely know you're exercising out there. It's so beautiful. It finishes right in the heart of downtown, and they have plenty of cheering crowds there to cheer you on right up to the finish line. My favorite, I think every year my favorite is the cherry pie eating contest. I don't know what it is. It's just so fun. You have the smell of the freshly baked cherry pies everywhere in the air, and contestants are just, they're devouring. They just slam their faces into these pies. It's fun. It's messy. It's great for spectators, and there's contests all week long. So be sure to check the schedule and get in on the fun of the pie eating contest. And the ultimate air dog show. If you have your dog, you can bring your dogs. Are welcome. They have dogs that are signed up. They leap into the water to fetch their favorite toys. It's a ton of fun, and the kids absolutely love watching that. You also have the cherry pit spitting contest. This unique event draws a huge crowd. Participants see how far they can actually spit a cherry pit. They measure it right down to the exact distance that you're able to spit this. It's a more fun for people watching, I think, than those entered in it. But a champion is crowned every year as someone gets to brag about their unique technique to spit a pit. All the fun will work up to an appetite for you in the Cherry Festival. It has you covered. You grab some of Gibby's fries. Oh, my gosh. The lineup for Gibby's fries, it seems like it's like a mile long, but it moves very fast. People just get a bucket of fries, and they love them. Also, the smoked turkey leg at the Midway, people line up for that as well. All kinds of local restaurants. You have the cherry pie flurry or a piece of Grand Traverse Pie Company's signature cherry crumb pie. Trust me. Your taste buds will thank you if you stop by there. In fact, the owner of the Traverse City Pie Company will be with us a little bit later in the show. My daughter Lexi and I, we had a fabulous cheeseburger and fries over at the UNI. The UNI, we have to hit the UNI every time we come here because it's the place my wife and I hung out over 30 years ago when I was a TV reporter right here in Traverse City at Channel 7 and 4. We always would go up to the UNI for a burger on the weekend. So I took my daughter up there this weekend. It was absolutely, it looked exactly the same, and the burgers are still great. Take some time while you're here to explore all of Traverse City. There's so much to do here beyond the Cherry Festival. The region's just known for its stunning natural beauty. The local wineries are incredible, and the finest wines in the region has to offer. You go out and order a charcuterie board and have some bread, meat, and cheese, and pair it with the local wines. The views are absolutely incredible. You will love going up to the local wineries. You can also take a hike up the Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore for some breathtaking views. And, of course, there's time right here on the shores of Lake Michigan to kayak or swim or just soak up the sun. You ready to dine? Traverse City won't disappoint. They got all the casual eateries and fine dining, culinary scene. It's really, Traverse City has become one of America's top foodie towns. So you definitely have a lot of reasons to hit the 98th annual National Cherry Festival. Let's get you caught up on the big news story of the day, and that is the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that former President Donald Trump is entitled to some immunity from prosecution for actions taken during his presidency. The court emphasized the distinction between Trump's official and private conduct, sending the case back to the lower court for further examination. Now, Trump faces charges of conspiracy and obstruction related to his efforts to overturn the 2020 election results, with lower courts previously denying his immunity claims. But now that the Supreme Court has ruled, they're going to have to take another look at that. And that means the ruling could delay the trial until after the November election, potentially allowing Trump to completely avoid prosecution if he wins the presidency. The Supreme Court also addressed other January 6th related cases impacting Trump's legal battles and potential candidacy. The conservatives are arguing that the ruling reinforces the necessary protection for presidential actions, ensuring that future presidents can perform their duties without fear of constant legal battles. On the other side, critics are arguing that the ruling undermines accountability, allowing Trump to evade justice by exploiting legal loopholes and delays, which could embolden future misconduct. We are here at the 98th Annual International Cherry Fest, coming to you live from the Indigo Hotel. You can get all the information you need at cherryfestival.org. We'll be right back on WJR 760 AM. Welcome back to Focus with Paul W. Smith. I'm Kevin Dietz. We are coming to you live from the 98th Annual International Cherry Festival, live from the Indigo Hotel, right across from the beautiful Grand Traverse Bay. You can find out everything you need to know at thecherryfestival.org. We're also celebrating Tony Butler, our chief engineer's final broadcast after 40 years. All right, Tony. Grand Traverse City, Michigan. Not much to do here, huh? you got the shores of Lake Michigan, you got Grand Traverse Bay, you got the beaches, the vineyards, just one of the most charming downtowns in the entire state and maybe the Midwest. It's absolutely a top destination for travelers. Join us now, Trevor Tacock, Traverse City Tourism. Tough job you got here promoting this area, I know. I was out at the golf course this weekend, played the Bear out at the Grand Traverse Resort, and literally, like at every tee box, you have to stop and look and just realize how beautiful this area is. It's stunning, and I don't know if you're golfing or if you're on a nature walk or what it is, but it's fabulous.
Well, that particular course is spectacular, and you can get lost in your game playing there, where you might get a little frustrated. But if you pause for a minute,
right,
and just look around, hey man, you're in the most beautiful spot in Michigan, I think.
Lost 20 golf balls, don't even care. Just having a good time out here.
That's right.
It's great, you know. And the Cherry Festival is phenomenal. It looks like you got a big crowd this year.
It's fabulous.
It looks like it's really happening.
I can't wait to see where the numbers come in, but it's so cool. It's all about the cherries, man. It's all about the agriculture here, and to have one of the biggest celebrations of agritourism in the country right here in Traverse City, Michigan. How cool is this, right? So spectacular.
It's phenomenal. My daughter and I, we walked the streets and just looking at all the crafts and arts tents and things, and how much pride everybody has in Michigan, how much pride they have in northern Michigan, how much pride they have in Traverse City. You see it oozes out of people.
It does. You know, that's what's really cool about an iconic event like this in our state. Not only do locals embrace it and love it and take care of it and cherish it, but people from in the state come, and it's an annual tradition. And then people from outside of the state, outside of our country, come here because we've built such a phenomenal event. It's an iconic bucket list sort of thing that, you know, if you're into travel, you got to come to the Cherry Festival at some point. You just got
to
do it.
I was listening to eavesdropping a little bit, if you will, at lunch to some of the other tables, and you could just hear the excitement they had. And then someone else would come up and say, "Oh, well, what did you do?" And they'd say, "Oh, well, you got to go over and check this out." And one of the things about being up here, you could spend a couple of weeks easy here because there's so many different things to do. I talked in the beginning about all the stuff going on with the Cherry Festival, and it consume you for a week for sure. There's so much great stuff going on, but there's a million other things to do in this area.
There really are, and Traverse City is a wonderful hub and spoke sort of destination where you can come in, you can go hit those golf courses or the wineries, go out to Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, you know, check out all the wonderful little resort towns and port towns along the waterfronts. It is a really special place. You can just come, unwind, you know, connect with your friends and nature and have a good time in northern Michigan the way it's supposed to be in the summertime.
It's so funny, like, you can throw out like Sleeping Bear Dunes as part of a sentence. Like, Sleeping Bear Dunes is like one of the most incredible places in the world.
Right.
It really is. My daughter and I were talking, we were just in Ireland, and we went to these beautiful places. I said, we could do this right in northern Michigan. I mean, right. you think about how beautiful the Sleeping Bear Dunes are, and then you talk about the bay here, and you could actually do both and say, hey, you could go kayak in the morning and hike the dunes in the afternoon if you wanted.
I mean, that's a crazy thing. Like, any one of these attributes could be a standalone thing, but we've got it all right here. And you point out a really good segue into the water. I mean, it's almost like this is it's a backdrop and not the centerpiece, but the water, the beaches, being able to get out there, and it's so accessible. That's another wonderful thing you need to do when you're in Traverse City.
I was watching the people on the boats as the Blue Angels were flying over, and I said, oh, man, where I had a pretty good seat, I wasn't complaining.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, that could be a fun day, too, get out on the water in the bay and take in the Cherry Festival that way.
And the cool thing is, you know, there are a lot of boat owners who like to bring up their boats or bring up, travel here at Lake Huron or Michigan to get here, but there's boat rentals. There's a lot of ways to access it if you don't have the boat. So we've done that before as a staff. I've taken the group out, and we've had a fabulous time watching that air show. But anytime, you can go charter fishing, you can get out on one of the big tall ships, you can rent a pontoon boat, jet skis, all kinds of ways to get on the water here.
We're at the Indigo, and I tell my parents all the time, I say, you got to come up here because everything's so walkable up here. Literally, you can just go a block away, and you have some of the most fabulous shops and stores and restaurants. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, more than 20 galleries, restaurants, bars down in downtown Traverse City, and it really is a very quaint yet well-developed downtown, and it holds its own. You see some local downtowns not quite holding up. It's difficult, especially in seasonal economies like ours, but we are strong. We've got a good local base that supports these businesses, but then 50% of the business is tourism, and so we rely on that. So we encourage people to come up year-round. We are not just a resort town. We are open 365 days a year here in Traverse City, and it's always a great experience. And that's the cool thing about a four-season destination. It's always a little different, but the same as well.
You know, it seems like the local community is really, really welcoming of the tourists. I could see how you could be like, oh, my gosh, here it comes. It's the Cherry Festival. They're going to take over our beautiful town. The secret's out. They found us. But you don't get that feeling. You get the feeling that they understand the importance of tourism.
Well, I think those who participate do, right? And you're always going to have some who aren't as big of fans, but it's almost like a badge of honor to be able to complain about something that's as awesome as a National Cherry Festival. Boy, I can't stand that Cherry Festival, but that's okay because I want them to keep complaining. The day it's not that challenging to put on an event like this, well, then we're probably not doing a good enough job with it, I suspect.
I noticed the porches decorated as I was walking around town, and I just thought, that's cool. That, you know, they're like, it's almost like a welcome, you know, welcome to Traverse City sign when people decorate their porches for the festival.
It's so old-timey. Like, right. You don't see this anywhere anymore.
A little lemonade stand out
right.
there.
Right, but it feels that way. You walk down Washington Street or State Street or 6th Street, and you do. You see, it's Americana. It feels like you're going back in time. This historic Victorian homes with, you know, bunting and cherry decorations. That's Traverse City, man.
Craft beer in wineries, it's such a big thing in Michigan now. People plan vacations to go see different wineries. You guys have it all up here.
We do. Nearly 50 wineries now between Leland and Old Mission Peninsula. Numerous breweries and the distilleries. And the cool thing about these spots is we're using Michigan ingredients. We're using local ingredients. Just like the farm-to-table experiences you have here, that's what's going into those drinks as well. So it's not about overconsumption. It's not about coming up and partying until you drop. It's about coming up and tasting the different flavors of this region. And there's a lot of ways to do that now.
Yeah, I stopped at a Mammoth Distillery two nights ago and was talking to the general manager there. And their stories are incredible, and they love the fact that they brag about the local materials they use, and it just brings it full circle. So when you talk about hidden gems in Traverse City, what are the places? I don't know that where are the locals hiding out right now? What are the places that we can expose the hidden gems and let the tourists get to see some of that stuff as well?
Well, you know, I say there's always a lot of cool little things you can find around town. You know, I think there's always stuff off the beaten path. You know, you get on the Boardman Lake Loop now, this wonderful trail system that's been completed all the way around our Boardman Lake. A hidden gem in any other city, this would be the centerpiece body of water. Here we've got East and West Grand Traverse Bay, but you get on that trail and you can find two really wonderful breweries over there, Filling Station and Right Brain Brewery. I mean, these are kind of, they're a little off the beaten path, but they've got great food, they've got wonderful drinks, and, you know, you can hide and play pinball and chill out over at Right Brain, and yeah, there'll be people there, but it might not be as busy as downtown.
I got a call from one of my classmates I went to school with in like eighth grade. They said, I saw you up at Traverse City. I'm over at the Right Brain Brewery. So I went over there. It was my first time there. As I'm walking out, the Blue Angels are flying right above. I'm like, you have everything here. It's just incredible. Trevor Jacock, Traverse City Tourism, thanks so much for joining us again this year.
Thanks for being here.
All right. We'll be right back with more Focus on WJR. And we're coming to you live from the Indigo Hotel, the lobby. Right across from the Grand Traverse Bay, not a better place to stay in all of Traverse City. The 98th Annual International Cherry Festival is going on. You're listening to Focus with Paul W. Smith. I'm Kevin Dietz. You can get all the information about the Cherry Festival at cherryfestival.org, and we are being sponsored today by Pure Michigan. The Grand Traverse Pie Company, it is known for its handcrafted pies made from Michigan's finest fruits. They have a deep connection to the local community and to the land. Their dedication to quality just it extends beyond food because they actively engage in charitable work such as supporting the Grand Traverse Regional Community Foundation and mentoring foster care youth. Their commitment to community and passion for pie making just makes them really one of our beloved institutions in Michigan. That's why we're happy to have Mike Busley of the Grand Traverse Pie Company back on with us again. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
You
Kevin.
Come bearing gifts.
Yeah.
Something called the Fruits of Summer Pie, and it absolutely smells delicious. And it's got the Michigan mitten, as we come to know it, with the Upper Peninsula there stamped right into the middle of the pie. Tell us a little bit about the Fruits of Summer Pie.
Well, this is the first time this pie is half blueberry, half cherry.
Okay.
So the Fruits of Summer in Michigan, the two biggest ag fruits are cherries and blueberries for the summer, apples in fall, of course. But we've teamed up, and you mentioned Pure Michigan sponsoring. We've been partners with Pure Michigan for many years, and this pie is kind of like our stronger partnership with Pure Michigan to highlight the ag of our state. All the flour, all the sugar is from Michigan, so we have all areas of the state represented, the blueberries in the south, the flour from the central part of the state, the sugar beets from the eastern part of the state, and then the cherries up here. So it it's the first time we've combined these two fruits with this topping, and we wanted to highlight it. It launched in Memorial Day, and we're going to run it through September. And it's just kind of a blue box. The packaging is different.
It is.
The message is different. One of the messages we have, in addition to ag, is about kids.
Yes.
And you'll see on a panel here, My Kids Matter.
Right.
And it's part of My Leap state organization, which is the purpose is to help early childhood development have resources and information on their website and how to get pre-K, access to pre-K education, child care, prenatal information, helpful hints for parents. So we're really trying to use the Pure Michigan Ag and Fruits of Summer to also shine a light on the Pure Michigan kids that we have. So we feel like this is a real special pie and a special message that we have. We want everybody to hopefully learn more about how to keep our kids.
Now, how do I keep the cherry from the blueberry?
No.
It's just going to mesh.
You know, it's kind of like red and blue, okay? You put red and blue together and it actually comes out better.
America.
You don't stay over on this side or that side. Let's mix it up a little bit and see what happens.
I love it.
So that's our metaphor for that.
You talk about using products made and developed here in state, like the flour, the sugar, and stuff. It's more than just about making the pie taste great. It really helps families stay alive, farms stay open. It's a bigger message than people might think.
Yeah, it's on several levels. I think on the economic multiplier of keeping the dollars, somebody buys a pie from us. We buy cherries from Smelter Orchard Company, the processor. The distributor is a Michigan company. The growers are Michigan companies. So you just churn in that money through Michigan. So it magnifies the benefit. But also, I think we know the farmers, you know, the Amos family and the Saylor family and the Bryan families from, you know, the orchards and the processors. And we know the folks down in Howell, Kingflower, for generations. They've been doing good things in Howell and doing good things with the growers across the state. So, you know, the people. And when you know the people, that's the other kind of benefit of these multi-generational families working hard farming and growing and processing our ag products. So we feel blessed to be part of that chain.
You know, it's not easy to run a business. You've been very successful at it. I know you've had some roller coaster times in this business for sure. But you and your wife have always felt that giving back is a part of the whole business. It's not like I hope we can give back to the community. You guys have been committed throughout that this is part of the business plan, part of who you guys are.
Yeah, we feel like we want to be a respected company, a respected brand. And what does that mean? Whether it's our customers or our suppliers or our employees, we want to treat you with respect, and then we figure you reward us with loyalty that enables us to grow and to give. And we call it a delicious cycle. It's kind of like the flywheel in Jim Collins' Good to Great,
right?
If you're into the business books. But our delicious cycle is built on respect, loyalty, growth, giving, which generates more respect. So that, if you can, I'm creating a visual here in my mind, that cycle never ends. So we need to do all those things all the time to create positive energy so that our delicious cycle continues forever, as long as we're around.
It also makes you a really desirable place to work. So the employees, you know, we talk about a lot on this show, people having trouble keeping employees, getting employees. And you know, when you operate the way you guys operate, it becomes a place people want to work. It's a job that's hard to give up.
We want to make sure when someone puts on the apron for the first time that they feel like they're part of something that's a little different, a little unique. We're not a big corporation, nothing against those folks, but we're local, we're personable. We want them to feel like you put an apron on and we work together as a team. It's going to be good for you, it's going to be good for your community, and it's going to be good for your state. Now, there's challenges to make sure that message is strong and they received, and we hire the folks that's important to. So you're right, there are always challenges. We'll never be there. But that's the beauty of always trying to pursue and to always try to continue to uphold the values, and through communication to our staff And the better we do that, the better they communicate with the community and the guests. And so that, again, completes that cycle. So that we try to make them feel like they're part of something special.
How much do you hear from the guests? Do they give you feedback?
Oh, yeah.
Do they have ideas of their own?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we hear through our website. I hear just from, you know, word of mouth or through our employees. We learn a lot. The good, the bad, and I won't say the ugly, but you know, the
some days,
you know, it's constructive praises and constructive criticism, and we're definitely, our ears and eyes are open to that, because we want to always be on the path of improvement, inch by inch, day by day. Let's try to be better than we were the last day, and let's make sure what people come to Traverse City for the summer. They've had this circled on their calendar all year.
Right.
They walk in our door. They intend to be here and have a good time. We need to make sure we understand that, and we give them the experience that they're looking for here in town. And it's just, you know, we're working. You know, the bakery ovens hardly turn off. But then again, these folks are coming in. They just want to enjoy their time with us, and they've been looking forward to this. So we need to make sure we understand that. And it's not just a number. These are people, mainly from our state, coming into. Spend time with us and enjoy their vacation.
And this is a great spot to come. Your location here is fabulous. But you have other locations.
Yes.
And people can also go online to check out your pies, right?
Yeah. We're in over 450 locations across this. We're in like 13 states now. We're in Florida, all around. But we do have 10 other locations in Michigan across the state.
It's fantastic. I'm so glad you took some time to be with us. What's the best website to go to?
www.gtpie.com.
All right. Yeah, Mike Busley, GT Pie Company. Just, you know, the ability to run a business and to give back. And I had a pleasure of talking with your wife yesterday.
Yeah.
And I just think you guys are real treasures for the state of Michigan.
Thanks
for being with
Kevin.
Us again.
Thank you so much.
All right, much more from the National Cherry Festival coming up. You're listening to Focus on WJR. Welcome back to Focus with Paul W. Smith. I'm Kevin Dietz. We are at the 98th Annual International Cherry Festival, coming to you live from the lobby of the Indigo Hotel, right across from the gorgeous Grand Traverse Bay. We are sponsored by Pure Michigan today, and everything you need to know about the Cherry Festival, you can find at cherryfestival.org. The National Cherry Festival, it is an absolute beloved annual event in Traverse City. This is, I think, my third or fourth year in a row, and I just absolutely love this assignment. The Cherry Festival celebrates the region's cherry harvest and vibrant festivities, delicious cherry-themed foods, and exciting entertainment. Showcases local culture and community spirit, and visitors, they get a taste of Northern Michigan's charm and hospitality through all these unique events and activities. Join us now, Cat Pay, from the National Cherry Festival. This is just unbelievable. And it's just every year, it seems like, oh, I'm going to the Cherry Festival. But every year I see different things, talk to different people, have different experiences, and they're just fabulous.
There is so much going on all the time here. There really is.
You could just come up and people watch. You don't even have to have any events, I don't think. There's just it's really.
I mean, we do have them all. We have 150 different events over this week. Several have already happened, as we are already on day three of the festival. So we are cruising along through things. This morning already was the kids' pet show.
Yeah.
Amazing piece of just wonderment. I love the kids dressing up with their pets and having matching costumes. It's always so cute. And then we've got our kids' club open right now. Of course, Open Space Park. It's absolutely beautiful out there.
Right.
With our cherry farm market, where you can get exactly what you talked about, every single thing with a cherry in it.
Even like beer. The beer tent opens at noon. We're past noon, so.
That's true, yep. There was a radio announcement earlier that the beautiful beer tent by the bay was open. They love to go ahead and announce that on the radio, which we love. And yeah, you can have the fresh cherries, which are local. They're all picked in the last few days here, because our cherry harvest is early this year, which has been fantastic.
Yeah, they're great. You can there's plenty of pop-ups where they have the cherries available. Mm-hmm. You can get them almost anywhere. I don't know what it is, but when I drive into town for the first time and I see Arnold's Amusement Midway, it just gives me this family-friendly feeling of, you know, look, we're, you know, the festival's here. It's just one little part of the whole National Cherry Festival, but it's really fun. It's really a draw.
It's very family. It's very Americana. You know, the Arnold's family has been doing it for 60-plus years. They're from Traverse City. This is where Agnes and Ivan Arnold started the company. So when people talk about the Carnival of the Fair, I'm like, that's homegrown right there.
Right.
That is Traverse City. They've created it there. And then you walk into the open space and you have the cherries and go see the cherry pie and get a cherry pie flurry. Of course, the best way to eat the Grand Traverse cherry pie.
So good.
So good. I've already had two today. So that was breakfast. It's an amazing event, and you get to see all, it's like Old Home Week. We have 2,700 incredible volunteers giving over 45,000 man hours this week. All those guys in those red ambassador shirts and their name tags. I love to walk through the open space in the morning. I park at the office, I walk the four blocks down, and I get to see all the ambassadors along the way and say hi and thank you. And then I walk through the open space and I get to thank everyone every morning, and it's my best part of the day.
My daughter and I had a blast walking the streets and looking at all the different tents with all of the different folks with their arts and crafts
fair yesterday.
Just fabulous. Today, I'm really looking forward to, I mentioned earlier, I love the cherry pie eating contest. I just love the idea of people slamming their faces into this pie. Hands behind your back. And does not matter how messy you get. It's just how fast you can get it down. And that's one of those events that's so fun for the spectators, mm-hmm. as much as it is for those who are participating. But you know what gets me every year is the bubble gum blowing contest.
Oh, yeah.
And I just think of, like, how fun for these little kids. I can just picture them practicing, blowing the biggest bubble they can. And then the pressure's on.
Oh, yeah.
The fans are cheering. The people are going crazy.
It is. Our directors are very protective of the measurers, mm-hmm. the incisors that we have, because you can't get those anymore.
Oh, okay.
So these are coveted cardboard measuring pieces that are eye hooked together, and to measure the biggest blow of the bubblegum blow. And so, we've got you got to get the bubble yum. It's very strategic. You get one piece, you got to chew, and then blow the biggest bubble you can. And the kids, they eat this up.
It's so fun.
It is great. We have so many fun kids events.
You talk about smiles. If you take the time to swing by the kids events, it is great. And then, of course, there's the cherry pit spitting contest,
yes.
which everyone seems to have their own technique, and I don't think anyone practices this. Unlike the bubble gum blowing, I think they just show up and they have an idea.
So we learned a few things during COVID that yes, people practice at home.
Okay.
So we did a cherry festival in a box in 2020, and we sent home the pit spit rules and the pie eating rules, and said go plan your own mini cherry festival at home in your backyard to celebrate the cherry harvest. And people did it. And we got all these fun pictures back. And a lot of people talked about the technique. You have to arch your back. You have to put a foot behind you. You have to swivel your head. You got to have tailwind.
But do you?
I don't know. But there was a lot of very scientific information given about the best way to spit your pit for the pit spitting contest. And if you've never seen the queen and her court do it.
Ooh, I have not.
That is one of my favorite, because they got to hold the crown.
Yes.
While they're also doing this arch and spitting. It's also not very, ladylike.
I was going to say, it's always fun to watch the hats fly off of people's heads. But if you have the crown, you got to be careful.
She's got an extra layer, extra level here where she's got to keep it all together. The sash full of pins and the crown and be launching a pit. It's a part of the deal.
We're right across from the Pepsi Bayside music stage. We went out and saw the Stone Temple Pilots the other night. It was just a fun night. And you're right there on the bay and the sun's setting. It couldn't be more beautiful venue. You have Brett Michaels playing tonight. Mm-hmm. But the music, all week long, thousands of people are going to make their way over there. And it's really just become quite a highlight.
The Pepsi Bayside Music Stage is just a really pinnacle piece to what we do down there now in entertainment. We have the deck, so it's a lovely place to watch it. And then the two nights that we have fireworks shows, both the 4th and the 6th, you have an automatic seat for the fireworks.
Oh, right.
Get a ticket to come to the show and then just look up, and here you are with the firework display. So tonight, we've got Brett Michaels with special guest Jefferson Starship. And gates open at 6 o'clock. A lot of amazing entertainment, amazing food in there. It's just a lot of fun, and it's the most beautiful spot, a lot of the artists have told us, because they stand up on that stage and they just look out over West Grand Traverse Bay.
So when people show up and they're not sure what to do, do you just say, well, go right, left?
Do it all.
I mean, there's so many. And you do have a fabulous program, by the way. If you're coming, grab one of the programs, because it really is well done, well put together. But really, you can go almost in any direction and have a great time.
You really can. And one of the things I always recommend is go to cherryfestival.org ahead of time, check out your schedule events, and plan your trip. So if you've got littler kids, we've got kids events every day. Or the Cherry Kids Club. And there's some staples, as we kind of talked about, the pet show and the pie eating and the pit spitting and the bubble gum blow and the kids pie eating. and plan those accordingly. And then Kids Club is open every day from 10 to 6. And that is a self-play area. So the parents can go down, relax in Clinch Park in the shade. Kids can play, take lunch from the open space, you know, go get something in the food court and walk it over. It's a lovely afternoon, especially how beautiful it is out right now, to enjoy the festival on your own. And then, you know, hit the farm market and grab some of your fresh cherries and some of the cherry salsas and jams and jellies and, you know, take them home. But there's a lot to get done in a day and a lot of things to pack in, especially around between the air show opening weekend and the parades midweek.
You can also learn some things because there's plenty of cherry growers here. They have tents, they have information booths. You can actually learn a lot about what's going on. Here.
There is a lot. There's the cherry promotion tent, which will tell you anything about the bees, everything from pollination to the blossom to, of course, the cherry. There's Americans Farmland Trust over there at our cherry farm market that will talk all about farming and what's going on in the agriculture community. And then you can actually go on a live working cherry orchard through orchard tours and more. Our buses leave daily Monday through Friday, 9 to noon. And you can go out to the Michigan Horticulture or the MSU Horticultural Station and see a live working cherry orchard. Taste some of the amazing products out there and take a hayride through the orchard.
That's incredible. CAPE National Cherry Festival, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just so many things to do. You guys do such a great job here.
Oh, thank you.
It's just wonderful. And the fireworks, you'll be able to see those on the 4th of July. We are live from the 98th Annual International Cherry Festival from the Indigo Hotel. Stay with us. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Focus on WJR. If you're up at the 98th Annual National Cherry Festival, you'll definitely want to check out the Grand Traverse Resort. It offers a luxurious and diverse experience with 3 championship golf courses, a world-class spa, and a variety of exceptional dining options. It's all set amidst the stunning natural beauty of northern Michigan. Its wide range of activities, from water sports to family-friendly entertainment, ensures that there's a lot to do for all ages. Joining us now, Caroline Rizzo, Grand Traverse Resort and Spa. How are you?
Good, Kevin. How are you?
Good. It's good to see you. I made it out there Saturday. We played the Bear, and I was telling people that from every tee box, it's so elevated up there. Like, before you hit the golf ball, you just have to kind of stop and take a mental picture or
take
an actual picture.
Yeah.
It's so pretty. You can see for miles, and there's so much to see, and you just think, man, this is Michigan. It's just a gorgeous setup there.
That's a tough course. So no matter how well you're playing, you know, if you're doing your best round or really struggling, it's the beauty, I think, that makes it worth it still.
It really is. It is challenging. It's very challenging.
Did you tackle it or did it tackle you?
It got me a little bit. The bear bit me more times than I got the bear. But it was so pretty and so nice. I just really – it's just great out there. And that's just one of 3 great golf courses,
one of 3, and you can play all 3. We've got people who will do all 3 in one day.
Oh my gosh,
which is crazy, and they'll
a lot
say
of golf
it too.
Balls.
That's
a lot
crazy.
Of lost golf balls.
Exactly, but that's what's fun is you can come up and you can play one course every day or do 2, and if you want to maybe try one again because maybe you didn't do so well the first time around, you've got all the different options up there, which is nice. And right now through Sunday the 7th, we've got our National Cherry Festival golf special going on too.
Right. And which leads, if you played all 3 courses on the same day, you'd have to pretty much book some time at the spa over there.
You would need to do something. Yes, you need to do something to basically recover.
Tell us about the spa.
The spa is great, especially right now in the summertime. I think some of the summertime treatments are my favorite. So we'll put a lot of really great seasonal special treatments in for all 4 seasons. So in the summertime, you've got really great treatments with vitamin C and brightening features and enhancements that just help you kind of have your skin in the sun more and protected and relaxed and rejuvenated. And it's a great spot to just kind of get away from the hustle and bustle because it's great being around downtown and it's great being at all the festivities of the whole summer and all the weeks that we celebrate up here. But sometimes you need that little bit of relaxation and quiet time. So it's a great spot to go from head-to-toe services. You've got pedicures and manicures, you've got facials and other skincare enhancements, and then you've got the body care. So that would be stuff that's great for a golfer. And when you visit the spa, if you're not staying with us at the resort, the spa is open to the public. So anyone in the Northern Michigan, Traverse City area can come and visit us at the spa. And as a spa guest, you then have access to all of our spa and health club amenities at the resort. So that includes the outdoor pools and the indoor pool, the health club facilities like the fitness rooms, tennis courts, pickleball courts, hot tubs, indoor and outdoor hot tubs, the sauna, the steam shower, the locker rooms. The beach club is one of where one of our outdoor pools is, which is a private beach club with a pool on East Grand Traverse Bay. So you could come for a spa treatment at 9 a.m. and stay all day as a spa guest and then enjoy those amenities, which is a really nice perk.
That's incredible. I mean, really, it's more than a perk.
It's
like perfect. It's a perfect perk. I saw also like you can actually you can run a pontoon or a kayak out, and you don't even have to be staying at the resort?
Nope, same thing. So Blue Sky Rentals is a local vendor in town who does water sports, and they've got pontoons, kayaks, jet skis, paddle boards, and they offer one of their rental locations right at our beach club on East Grand Traverse Bay. So you can go on their website and sign up and rent through them. And again, whether you are a resort guest or not, but if you are a resort guest, our bell stand will shuttle you down from the main property right to the beach. So you don't have to worry about bringing your car and parking and loading it all up. We'll do all that kind of work for you with our complimentary shuttle to and from.
How great of a day is that, just to be able to go down and go out on the water and enjoy all of that? I mean, to have all of that in one spot, it just makes it so easy for people who are coming from out of town.
And if you time it out right, you could get one of those really early morning tea times, be out at 6:37 when the sun's already well risen. So that's great. That's the best part about Michigan summers, is you got all that extra daylight. So you could do a really early morning tea time, get in a full round of golf, have a great lunch, go down to the beach midday and relax there, and then maybe end the day at the spa with a little extra relaxation, and then squeeze in a nice meal. And you really did have the perfect Northern Michigan summer day.
Right. A nice meal. You guys have, I was talking about the views from the tee box at the Bear, but you have a restaurant with really probably the best views in all of Northern Michigan.
Yes, Airy Restaurant and Lounge. It's on the 16th floor of the tower. So most people know that tower driving around. It's where all the hotel and guest rooms are. But right up at the top of it is the restaurant and lounge. 360-degree views of our property, so you can look down and check out the golf courses, but you can also look out and see East Grand Traverse Bay and Old Mission Peninsula, and you don't get more elevated than that anywhere else in Traverse City. So it's a beautiful view, but it's also great service and incredible food.
Well, if you have the entire circle view, they can't hide the sunset on you. Everybody's going to get a chance to see the sunset.
It's a great spot for the sunset, so get up there, have a little bit of a later dinner reservation, because I think the sunset up here right now is more like 9:30.
That's incredible.
And
that's
it gets really golden in that restaurant. It's absolutely breathtaking. But Sundays, we also do a Sunday brunch. So that's kind of a hard thing for people to find around here sometimes, is where to get a really great Sunday brunch. And we do a nice buffet from 10 a.m. to 2 in the afternoon. So it's a great thing to bring the family to. We do an egg station. There's pancakes and waffles, omelet station. You've got baked goods and assorted pastries from our in-house bakery department, bacon, sausage, all of the fixings and favorite breakfast foods. So it's a nice, pretty much all-you-can-eat buffet when you come up there, too. So, again, open to the general public.
And then when you finish that, you can hit the workout center, which is pretty nice.
Exactly. Yep, go down to the health club. And a lot of people getting on the tennis and pickleball courts outside or inside, depending on the weather. And then all the fitness rooms, too, are great, plus the indoor pools.
I know right now through July 7th, the Bear and the Wolverine, you have a special rate of $119 and Spruce Run $79. Do you put together seasonal packages for what you guys offer over at the resort?
We do. We host a lot of golf groups and other types of golf getaways, too. So we'll do other little promos and events throughout the year. So the Cherry Golf Special going on now through Sunday the 7th. So you can play those courses at that discounted rate. Actually, this upcoming Friday, if anyone's going to be up here and is still looking for something to do, the 5th is our Cherry Golf Scramble.
Oh, really?
And then we have other things, too, like going on through the fall, the Big Hole Tournament, the Tough Enough Tournament. Those are mostly through September and October and the later months of the season. But if you're looking for a golf trip and you have from 4 people to 44 people or more, we accommodate groups like that, too, with lodging, with tea times, even meals, and all of that fun stuff. So we'll see people from families, longtime friends, high school or college reunions, people coming back who were maybe teammates on a team back during their school years, husbands with their sons and their wives, and a family event. So it's really fun to be able to bring people up and give them a great golf experience.
Are there still rooms available?
There absolutely are. Yeah, we've still got even some for this week. So if you're looking to book a last-minute trip up north for the 4th or July, you can go onto our website and book a room.
What's the website?
GrandTraversResort.com.
Perfect. Caroline Rizzo, Grand Traverse Resort and Spa. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. This is Focus with Paul W. Smith. I'm Kevin Dietz filling in for him today. We're at the 98th Annual National Cherry Festival, coming to you live from the Indigo Hotel. You can find out everything you need to know at cherryfestival.org. We'll be back with more Focus in just a minute. Welcome back to Focus with Paul W. Smith. I'm Kevin Dietz, and today we are covering the 98th Annual National Cherry Festival in Traverse City, Michigan. We are broadcasting live from the lobby of the Indigo Hotel, right across from the beautiful Grand Traverse Bay. We are sponsored by Pure Michigan, and everything you need to know about the Cherry Festival you can find at cherryfestival.org. Cherry Festival, honoring the cherry, which is so important to Michigan. And joining us now is Nels Velket with the Cherokee Inc. Good morning. How are you?
Very good, Kevin.
Did we get that name close?
Yeah, very close.
Very close. Okay, good enough. Tell us a little bit about cherry growing in Traverse City, in Michigan, in northern Michigan in particular.
Cherry growing is a big business here in Michigan. We grow the most tart cherries in the nation, and depending on how you want to stack it up, probably any region in the world. So this week, we're probably 10 days ahead of our normal harvest schedule, so sweet cherries are in. Everybody's excited about that, that the sweet cherries are ready for the cherry festival. Tart cherries will start a little bit later this week. So a lot of warm weather, a lot of wet weather. The three major growing regions in Michigan, Southwest, West Central, and Northwest. Southwest is pretty much finished up. West Central Michigan around Hart-Shelby, they're in the thick of it right now. And Northwest Michigan, end of next week, will be in full swing.
And where do we find sweet cherries and where do we find tart cherries?
Tart cherries, mostly because they are so perishable, you find those in the dried form or in a juice form. Those are all over the place up here. Sweet cherries, pretty much any roadside stand or enterprising young 12-year-old on the corner anywhere in Traverse City right now. Pretty easy for them to have access to fruit this year because of the timing.
Okay. And is there a certain soil or something that makes cherry growing different here than anywhere else, or why is it so big here?
We have a good soil set for it, sandy loam, all along West Michigan. So a lot of the places that cherries like to grow on the high vistas, people like to site their houses as well. But mainly it's the sandy loam along the west coast of Michigan here. They get a little bit of that out in Utah as well on some of the mountainsides. And then we just have a fantastic climate. We get the moderating temperatures from the lake, whether that's early in the season or late in the season, and a perfect environment for tart cherries especially.
Yeah, we were talking about the weather just, in one day we kind of had some warm, we kind of had some wind, we kind of had some wet. You get a little bit of everything up here in northern Michigan. That's conducive for cherry growing?
Yeah, they all, every year has its challenges. This year we've had lots of water, the trees have been really healthy, the fruit has good size. But, of course, that means that everything else has had a lot of water, including all the funguses and all the pests. So there's an ongoing battle with that. And then the wind always will bang up the fruit a little bit. So you'd like to have a Goldilocks somewhere where the weather is just perfect. It never gets above 85 degrees and the humidity stays pretty normal. But, we do what we can. And a lot of people work hard and try to have a little bit of geographic diversity. Michigan as a state, probably 20 million pounds in Southwest, 60 million pounds in West Central, and maybe 80 to 100 million pounds up north. So from a total state perspective, we have good geographic diversity. If one area gets beat up badly through a frost or gets hit with some stormy weather, it doesn't really take out the entire crop. So Michigan as a cherry producer is definitely here to stay.
Walk us through the process from planting to harvest.
Well, it takes about 7 years after you plant the tree. It goes into the nursery for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years in the budding process, and then it goes into the ground. And it's about 7 years in before you get your first sort of harvestable crop. So tart cherries are one of those products where you got to have a capital investment up front, and it takes a while to get it back. They typically live in Northwest Michigan for about 35 years. So if you don't go broke during the first decade and a half, you know, you might just make enough money to hang on for the next decade and a half. Sweet cherries, very similar. You can grow those a little bit higher density and on some dwarfing rootstocks, get a little bit more product earlier, but that's usually about 5 or 6 years before you really start getting anything saleable off them. And then if you are into sweet cherries, you either pick those for fresh market, and that's a pretty specific market in a very tight time window, or you grow them to make maraschino cherries. That's what everybody knows, where the brine cherries go. And then if you grow tart cherries, a lot of those go into dried cherries. People like to eat dried cherries. That's the main focus for those. Also pie, frozen, and then juice is increasingly a big one for us in the tart market.
So if you're lucky enough to be in this industry for decades, how much has technology changed, and what kind of role does technology play? Or is it pretty much like it was 100 years ago?
It's essential. We started, I should say, you know, my dad and his brothers and a couple of their fraternity brothers started back in the late 60s. And my uncle didn't like to go so slow on the tractor with the sprayer behind it. That's a thing that most people recognize. So he put a tank on the back of a pickup truck. And today we're running seventh generation 1,500 gallon tanks on converted school bus chassis with GPS and Raven systems. And it's basically like a fighter jet. We build those in-house. A lot of that stuff is specialty built. And for us, the technological advancement, whether it's at the farm level or at the processing level, is what has always driven, you know, what's next. Whether it was making juice concentrate, whether it was drying of the cherries, these are all things that have come around every decade or so. The newest one is nutraceutical powder made from the skin. So in this industry, we innovate and then, pardon me.
You're fine.
We innovate and then we end up basically having to innovate again about every 10 years because somebody else in the world sees our product, sees how well it sells, wants to be in the American market. The American market is one of the best markets to be in the world, and they begin to send it here. So we have to come up with something new, something more creative. And yeah, that's basically the cycle. About every decade, if you don't innovate, you're going to be out of business. You can hold on for a while on the value of your land, but the reality is that only takes you so far.
That's incredible. When we grow stuff around the house, we're always worried about pests and disease. Is that an issue with the big farms?
Absolutely. We have, this year is a little bit trickier because of the weather. Spotted wing Drosophila is one that people have heard about recently. That's really bad for blueberries, tart cherries as well. And then plum curculio is another one that we deal with. And, you know, it's like anything. You do the best that you can to keep the bugs away. Like the best defense is preventative measures. Once you have a problem, you're spending a lot of money to fight, and it's really too late. You're kind of fighting the losing battle. So that becomes an issue when you've got lots and lots of different things to fight. There are only, you know, so many checks in the checkbook and only so many hours in the day to get back out after it's been raining if you need to spray. Trying to get the efficacy out of those inputs. So it can be a very expensive time of year, and keeping those pests at bay is critical.
How big is the National Cherry Festival for promoting the business, the industry? Would it be different if this was the Blueberry Festival?
Yeah, the Cherry Festival gives cherries a national scope that I don't think we would have if we didn't have this festival every year. Cherries are grown all over the United States, but Michigan is the 800-pound gorilla, and the Cherry Festival does a great job getting the idea of cherries into people's heads, and whether that's viral TikToks that are coming out about the melatonin in the cherry concentrate used as mocktails, whether it's a new healthy food program for the schools, all this stuff, the Cherry Festival is invaluable in our marketing efforts.
We seem to see it in a lot of different products, too, every year, which just gets you thinking about cherries again.
Yes, and what I am most excited about for the future of cherries is the use of nutraceutical powder. Yeah. Then we can be in everything, you know, and we can be in it as an ingredient that brings a lot of antioxidant and health value, and really just highlights something that is unique and special for Michigan.
We'll be watching for that. Nels Velket, Cherokee Inc., thank you for joining us so much and teaching us a little bit about the business.
Thank you, Kim.
All right. This is Focus with Paul W. Smith. We're at the 98th Annual National Cherry Festival, coming to you live from the Indigo Hotel. You can find out everything you need to know at cherryfestival.org. We'll be right back. You're listening to WJR 760 AM. If you're going to have a National Cherry Festival, you really need to have a National Cherry Festival Queen. The National Cherry Festival Queen program is a huge part of the Cherry Festival held annually right here in Traverse City, Michigan. The program aims to celebrate and promote cherries, community involvement in the Grand Traverse region through the selection and representation of the National Cherry Queen. The mission statement is to celebrate and promote cherries, community involvement in the Grand Traverse region. Joining us now is Carmen Beamer, National Cherry Queen, and her court. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. We're doing good. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I am a recent 2024 Michigan State University graduate.
Congratulations.
Go green.
Go
Thank
white.
You. I majored in horticulture science, so right up the alley of the Cherry Queen, all things fruit, trees, and vegetables.
Horticulture science. That's not a major everybody picks. What got you started down that route?
Oh, well, ever since I can remember, I've been very passionate about agricultural things all around. I was a 4-H'er, and growing up, I knew I was going to study something in that industry, and I got to the point of when I had to make a decision, and I was like, well, I want to do some raw product. Like, I want to learn about apples. And my class advisor said, well, Carmen, that's horticulture. And I said, well, that's what I want to study then.
I love that. Before we get too far, I wanted to introduce your court. Pass the mic and let each one introduce themselves. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name's Erin Eckerly.
I'm Marley Harrison.
Hi, I'm Tessa Nico.
Hi, I'm Sophia Stiles.
All right, tell us a little bit more about yourselves.
Well, I'm Sophia Stiles. I'm 19 from Traverse City, Michigan, and I'm super excited to be here.
All right.
Hi, Tessa again. I'm 19 from Elk Rapids, Michigan, and I'm very excited as well.
Marley again. I am 23 from Traverse City, Michigan, the only non-fudgy in my family, and I'm thrilled to be here.
Hi, I'm Erin Eckerly again. I'm 24 from Suttons Bay, Michigan, and I'm a fifth-generation cherry farmer.
Oh, I love that. Excellent, excellent. Carmen, tell us a little bit about, what goes into becoming a cherry queen, what they're looking for.
Well, the number one piece of advice they gave me in my year of running and what we continue to tell these wonderful four young ladies is to be themselves and have as much cherry fun as they can throughout the week.
What is the process when you apply? Are there interviews? How does it work?
Yeah, so we had 14 young women apply this year, and we were actually right here in Hotel Indigo. They went through a process of 2 interviews, and then they also did a memorized industry and festival speech that they shared in front of the judges as well. We then went to the ceremony, and we selected these 4 young women, and now they are here with me at the National Cherry Festival for the next, I don't know, we're on day 3, so I think 5's left. The whole 8 days, they are secretly judged by 6 judges throughout the week. And they will then go to the Queen's Coronation, where we will crown your 93rd National Cherry Queen.
That's exciting. What are some of the key responsibilities that you've had as Cherry Queen, and what are some of the most memorable parts of it for you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, some of my favorite parts were all of the delicious fresh cherries I've gotten to eat throughout the year. I would say that that's a key part to being the Cherry Queen as well. All jokes aside, you don't really have to love cherries, but I personally do. And some of the things I've really enjoyed throughout the year was getting that special view of the industry from that Cherry Queen perspective. There's only been 91 other women in history that have gotten this opportunity to view the industry in the way that the Queen's program allows us to.
I've seen you guys out and about this week, and I noticed that the little kids really love to come up and talk with you guys. What does that mean when you get an opportunity to talk with little girls?
Oh, my goodness. It means the absolute world, and I would love to think that they really want to come see me, but I truly think it's the crown on top of the head for sure. But it's just so fun to be able to be someone that I hope they look up to and someone that they can hopefully want to aspire to be one day, and poised in themselves and hopefully a bunch of future cherry queens.
I think it's interesting that you're interested in agriculture. Tell us a little bit about, most people probably don't think much about agriculture. They just go to the store, they buy food, and they eat it. But there's a lot more that goes into it than that.
Yeah, so I was also in FFA, and when I learned that families thought that their turkey just somehow appeared in Walmart or Meijer, it was absolutely incredible to me. So it really does start from the ground. I don't know whether the chicken or the egg comes first, but it starts right with family farms where they produce the fruit and they do go to a processing plant. It gets packaged and sent to your local store for you to conveniently buy and enjoy.
I imagine you learned a lot about the cherry industry, even though you've followed it and studied it. What are some of the things you learned, especially as when you get to meet some of the families who are involved, and how important all of this is? And really, the fact that just, you know, having a National Cherry Queen and a festival, it does so much to promote the fruit that is their livelihood.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing that I would take away from that aspect is, it does come down to the family farms and the growers, but when you get truly passionate and determined to make a difference in an industry, you can really do it when it gets down to the nitty gritty and the dirty.
What do you think your career will look like? What do you see for yourself?
Yeah, so I thankfully do have a full-time position. I took a job with Gold Coast Sales. So I personally service the entire West region. So I work right next to growers. So cherry farmers are some of my favorites. Give me a call. But so I get to go around and I get to consult with the farmers about their yearly crop. And I'm their sales account manager. So if they need some crop protection, chemistry, I'm there to service them in that area.
What did you learn about yourself in the year of being Cherry Queen? I'm sure you were tested in ways you probably never imagined you would be.
Oh my goodness, yes. So I would probably learn that I have more patience than I ever thought I would. And not that it takes a lot of patience, but it's a busy schedule. And I was always on the go. And sometimes other things had to be put on halt. And was it a little sad here and there, family events? Sure, but in the end, it was almost definitely worth it.
When it comes to mentors, was there anybody that you looked up to as a mentor? And how do you feel about being a mentor for younger people?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the entire Queens Committee was really great mentors for me throughout the year. They made sure I was fed, well-rested, and always had red lips for the occasion. Other people that were good, good mentors for me was Queen Olivia, the 91st National Cherry Queen, who I'll follow into the sisterhood. And other mentors I would have to say is a shout out to one of my sponsors, Mike Van Otmel. He was a true passionate farmer. He grows apples and cherries down on the Oceana County area, and his passion and drive for it really drove me to become the Cherry Queen.
I love that. Carmen Beamer, National Cherry Queen. Thanks for being with us, and good luck to everybody, and thanks for coming down today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here on Focus. We are at the 98th Annual National Cherry Festival, coming to you live from the Indigo Hotel. You can find out everything you need to know at cherryfestival.org. We'll be right back on WJR 760 AM. Welcome back to Focus with Paul W. Smith. I'm Kevin Dietz in for Paul today. We are live from the 98th Annual National Cherry Festival, coming to you live from the lobby of the Indigo Hotel. We are right across the street from the beautiful Grand Traverse Bay. This is the spot you want to be for the 4th of July fireworks. I can tell you that the upstairs roof bar has the best view of the fireworks going. Anything you want to know about the Cherry Festival, you can find at cherryfestival.org. And we are being sponsored by Pure Michigan. We began the show telling you a little bit of news from the Supreme Court, a 6-3 ruling that former President Donald Trump is entitled to some immunity from prosecution for actions taken during his presidency. Marie Osborne has been looking into the details of all of that, and she joins us now. Hey, Marie.
Good morning, or good afternoon, I should say, Kevin. So what we know is that according to this ruling, President Trump can't be prosecuted for official actions that he took as president, but can be for private acts. This is a landmark ruling, as you know. Justices ruling 6-3. The opinion was written by the Chief Justice, John Roberts. This court looked at four categories of conduct. This is very important to understand. The discussions that President Trump had with the Justice Department officials following the election, his alleged pressure on then Vice President Mike Pence to block the certification of the vote, his alleged role in assembling fake pro-Trump electors, and his conduct related to the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol. The court found that Trump was absolutely immune for the conversations with the justice officials, but all those three others that I mentioned, that's now going to go down to the lower court to determine whether the former president has immunity for those three other categories. This story is not settled. It is not over.
No, it sounds like there'll be a lot of legal folks weighing in on this in the days to come. So they send it down to the lower courts and kind of with a message that if you feel like the acts that took place were part of his official acts, part of his job, then he should be immune. But if you find that this is more private, then it would not be immune. So you're really going to be back kind of, to some degree, kind of where we started, where these judges are going to, make rulings, because it's not easy to really tell. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, whether you talk about the documents, the classified documents, did he take that because he was president and that was an official act? Did he take those because he wanted to write a book and that's a private act? I mean, it really, gets into the phone call he made with the officials in Atlanta. Because he privately wanted to win and stay president, or was that as president he was calling to find out what the real deal was down in these different areas? This is going to go on for some time, I guess.
It sure is. Well, and one thing we do know, it's not going to be settled before the November election, that we know. And also from some of the experts that I've listened to and heard from, they're saying that some of these cases could end up back in the Supreme Court. Also remember that Trump is still facing another federal case for illegally hoarding the classified documents. At Mar-a-Lago, you alluded to that a minute ago. He's also charged alongside several others in attempting to overthrow the loss to Biden in Georgia. So we have those out there, too. Those cases have not been settled.
Yeah, and some speculation that if Donald Trump were to win as president, maybe those cases may not end up seeing the light of day. But again, we don't know, because it goes into a judge's courtroom, and that judge, they get to make those decisions. We also have a sentencing coming up July 13th, where we don't know what's going to happen with the judge in that case. Is he going to sentence Donald Trump to jail or no?
And also remember, we have the GOP, the Republican National Convention, coming up in a few weeks as well. So there's a lot that's going to be happening this month. It won't be a sleepy summer July, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I was just looking through some of the initial reaction. Conservatives saying that it's important to and necessary to protect presidential actions, because you have future presidents coming forward. They can't be thinking with every decision that they make, what is going to be the legal outcome of this once I leave the presidency. That would be a very difficult way to try and run the most powerful country in the world.
Basically impossible, right? Because presidents make these very, very important decisions. The first thing that I think of is that they make big decisions about war and people sending them into harm's way, and what happens to people when they're sent into harm's way. So they absolutely need some immunity, that is for certain.
And the critics are saying their initial reaction on X anyway is they're worried about the ruling undermining accountability. It might allow all presidents, Donald Trump specifically, to somehow evade justice. I guess we're going to have to let that play out. But I can see in the future how presidents might be very specific and careful to try and show how their decisions are part of their job as president and not something they're doing as a private act.
Right. And that's a very important distinction. Also, we should note that President Trump on his Truth Social said, in all caps, "Win a big win for our Constitution and democracy. Proud to be an American."
All right. Well, thank you, Marie, very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Do we have Chris Runwick there ready to go? Chris, are you with us?
Yeah, what's up, Kev? How are we doing?
We're doing great. We're up at the National Cherry Festival.
It's a good place to be.
How could you be doing any better than this? This is fantastic. Wish you were up here. I enjoyed golfing with you the other day.
Yeah, we had a good time. Well, it wasn't the greatest golf that we've ever played, but it was a great time out at the Michigan Heroes Museum.
It really was. It really was. What do you got going on today for the show?
Yeah, obviously, we're going to be talking about the Supreme Court decision. We'll have Barbara Quaid on coming up to start the show. Okay. Also, this idea that following the presidential debate the other night and how poorly the president did and the kind of shockwaves throughout politics that it sent, there was this question about whether or not Joe Biden would step out of the race. Well, now the family's convened at Camp David. They've met. The White House says, they're just taking a family portrait. That's all this is. But in reality, the messaging and the discussion focused on if he should continue. And we'll let you know what the family settled on coming up, too, because it might interest some people.
Well, I think it really will, Chris, because you had all these polls come out where the voters are saying we think Biden should step down. You had all the media coming out writing op-eds saying it's time for the president to step aside. You have all of this discussion mm-hmm. about the Michigan governor, Gretchen Whitmer, possibly being a replacement. She's trying to push that aside. But all the talk is about the president stepping aside, and then you have the family getting together. Will they agree with the analysis, or will they say, no, you got to stay in there? It's really going to be fascinating.
It is going to be fascinating. I'll provide some other insights, kind of what my thoughts on this debate were and the reverberations that it sends and what it could mean long term. So we'll do all that coming up. We got a packed show.
All right. Thanks so much, Chris. Appreciate it. Chris Renwick coming up right after this show. You're going to hear from Barb McQuaid. Really interested to hear what her legal take is on that very important decision. The 98th Annual National Cherry Festival. Come on up. If you get a chance, you can check out everything you need to know at cherryfestival.org. This is Kevin Dietz in for Paul W. Smith on Focus. Have a great afternoon.